There is so much happening on the big geopolitical picture in the world. There is Russia, China, how it balances NATO, America. There is trouble in France over pensions. There is commotion in Israel over Netanyahu's assault on the judiciary and all the chatter in the Middle East. It is very tempting to take your eye off what's happening right in our neighborhood in India. But you know what? Geopolitically, the most important things happen in your neighborhood. In this case, this has nothing to do with Pakistan. This has something to do with China, but indirectly. This has more to do with Bhutan. So what's happened now? Bhutanese Prime Minister Lote Shering, who is a very well-respected diplomat internationally and definitely in the region, he's given an interview to a Belgian newspaper. It's a French language Belgian newspaper, Libre Belgique, where he has said some interesting things about the China-Bhutan boundary question. About China-Bhutan boundary question, the question was asked of him that what about these 10 villages, 10 if not more, that China is supposed to have constructed in Bhutanese territory. Now, these are villages that you have seen written about, talked about in Indian media a lot and international media a lot. In fact, on the print in January last year, 2022, you had a story by Snehesh Alex Philip, our defense editor, talking about this. Vinayak Bhatt, a former army veteran who used to do satellite intelligence for the army and picks up these pictures from open sources, has done articles with us showing these pictures. Many Indian TV channels, NDTV, Vishnu Shom there, has done these stories. So these are journalists and these are pictures, right, that you take seriously. Now, these pictures, which have also then been shown by many open source intelligence people, that is Damien Simon, who tweets as Ditresfa, and we often use his pictures, see some of his tweets as we speak on your screen. They have shown these villages. And all this time, say for about 2.5 years, as stories have been appearing that these villages are being constructed by the Chinese inside Bhutanese territory, including next to Doklam, abutting Doklam, where at the India-Bhutan-China tri-junction, a big standoff, 73-day standoff took place in 2017, which was quite a fraught situation because India thought the Chinese troops were coming too close to what is called the Jamfeiri Ridge, from where they can overlook the entire Siliguri corridor on Indian side. So if Siliguri neck is kind of India's delicate neck connecting all of the northeast with the rest of the country, this Chumbi Valley is like a dagger into that neck. And the Chinese control the Chumbi Valley. If they creep up there, if they get onto the ridges, particularly Jamfeiri Ridge, then they are sitting on top of you and they can actually have a bird's eye view of the entire plains, the narrow strip of plains that connects the bigger Indian, the main Indian landmass and the northeast. So that's how this standoff had taken place. Now, this standoff had taken place in Bhutanese territory. Now, India had not been invited by Bhutan to go and protect their territory, but India proactively had sent troops across the border into Bhutanese territory to prevent the Chinese from muscling up. What the Chinese have been doing since then is they did pull back to an extent, to an agreed place, but they've been building heavy infrastructure right behind that. They built roads, they built villages, they built chota townships like cantonment townships or garrison townships. So they are now in a position to build a brigade strength at least very quickly in that area. India, on the other hand, has to go across many ridges and will take a long time doing that, although India is well prepared. Now, all of that happened because the Bhutanese looked the other way as Indian troops went across and stopped the Chinese. Now, what's happened since then is that Bhutanese have been under pressure and the Chinese have done nothing to lessen that pressure. If anything, Chinese have been upping that pressure. And that's how these villages began coming up. That's the reason I gave you this long explanation. So these 10 villages have been built since then. About 5 of them are in what would be called Bhutan's western sector. Bhutan's western sector would be abutting Sikkim in India. Bhutan's eastern sector, you go east, will be abutting Arunachal Pradesh, the West Kameng district. We aren't going there right now. Bhutan's west, which is right now critical because Doklam is the mouth or the head of the Chumbi Valley, right? And Bhutan is treaty bound to not allow anything on its territory that has adverse consequences for India's security. So Bhutan has that limitation. Even if it wanted to make concessions to the Chinese on Doklam, This will come in the way. And Bhutan and India have very deep and very extensive relations. That said, what have the Chinese done? They started building villages. They started pushing into Bhutanese territory along the Doklam area. In fact, if you can see, some of these villages came up sort of behind what was the standoff position or what was the standoff line in 2017. So, if you don't let me come in this way, I will come in this way. Now, there Bhutan was not able to prevent the Chinese. Then the Chinese also built some villages in what is called as the central sector. Central sector, again, they built a bunch of villages, and these stories kept coming out in international media, open source intelligence channels. And then the Chinese, just a couple of years ago, and we had done an entire episode of Cut the Clutter on this, episode 515, of which I will share a link with you. You can see that they laid claims to about 3,000 kilometers of area in the eastern side of Bhutan. The important thing is that area in what is called as Sakteng Wildlife Sanctuary. Please see these pictures. These pictures we had used in our earlier Cut the Clutter, 515. The Chinese don't even have a shared border there. To get there, the Chinese will have to cut through a lot of the territory, which is Indian territory. So not just Tawang district, but a lot of the West Kameng district also, Tawang, Sela, Bomdila. So because the Chinese claim all of their territory also, all of Arunachal Pradesh, so they leapfrogged over that area and they laid claims to 3,000 kilometers of Bhutanese territory in the east as well. That territory, as I told you, involves a very large wildlife sanctuary. And this had come up when the Global Environment Forum had actually been considering giving a grant to the Bhutanese to look after this sanctuary. Now, this sanctuary is part of Bhutan's largest district, Tashigang district. So the Chinese now like wanted half of it. So 3,000 kilometers there, about 200 something, maybe 280 kilometers on the western side, that is the Doklam side in general, and another 300 odd kilometers, actually nearly 380 kilometers, 380, 390 kilometers in the central sector. So put all together, this almost came up to 4,000 square kilometers. So that's the Chinese way. The Chinese way is, number one, to make exaggerated claims. Then number two, change facts on the ground. And they say, listen, I'm taking all this. I want all this. You want a deal? You let me take this much. I let the rest go. So this is not jo tera hai wo tera hai, jo mera hai wo mera hai, ye jo mera hai wo mera hai, jo tera hai wo bhi thoda sa mera hai, right? That is how the Chinese negotiate. So something like that seems to be playing out now. So what is Lothar Schering, the Prime Minister of Bhutan, done in this interview to Libre Belgique, Belgian newspaper? He said, first of all, that we have said categorically that there is no intrusion. So they have said that the Chinese have built no villages inside Bhutan. In fact, he said it very, very, very clearly that there is no intrusion in Bhutan. These villages are not on Bhutanese territory. Now, if that is the case, that complicates things. So please also see the series of tweets which have been put out by Robbie Barnett. Robbie Barnett is a London-based expert on Tibet, on Himalayan regions, etc., etc. And he has said that if this is the case, then it means a bunch of things. And see his tweets also, they will run on your screen as we speak. He said that if what the Bhutanese Prime Minister says now is correct, then it either means that maps have all been wrong, which means the Bhutanese map and the maps and the Chinese maps and the international maps have all been wrong, or that Bhutan has conceded these territories to China. Either way, India has to think hard about it. Again, if you see this tweet from Ditresfa, Damien Simon, that tells you that the map that he has in this tweet basically superimposes Bhutan's official maps over China's official maps to tell you that these villages actually are in territory that were on Bhutan's map. So once again, do you now presume that the maps are all wrong? Because Bhutan's Prime Minister is saying Chinese have not built any villages in my territory? Or is it that the Bhutanese are conceding control? The Chinese, as far as the Chinese are concerned, their strategy is very clear. They are building these villages in the central sector. They're making claims, humongous claims on the eastern sector, 3,000 square kilometers of an area which doesn't even abut their borders, where they don't even share borders, right? There's a lot of Indian territory between that Chinese claim in Sakteng Sanctuary and the Chinese control Tibet. Could it be that the Bhutanese now are asking for a deal? Deal meaning that we'll make you some concessions in some areas, but particularly on the western side, close to Doklam or extending from Doklam, but not Doklam itself. There they have a problem because they're treaty bound with India not to concede that territory. Also, India will never allow that to happen because India has existential, tactical and strategic interests there. There is no way India will allow that. So are the Bhutanese then asking for a deal? The Chinese are following once again a familiar Chinese tactics, which is kahin pe nigahein, kahin pe nishana. So they might be saying that, oh, your eastern sector, we want 3,000 kilometers. Your central sector, all these five or whatever number of villages are ours, or 300 something square kilometers are ours. But what they want is, the territory they really want is on the western side. That is near Chumbi Valley and the Doklam area. That's the deal. So what exactly has the Bhutanese Prime Minister said? He has said, number one, that there are no Chinese villages on Bhutanese territory. This is international border. These are international borders, and we know exactly what we are talking about. We know what the borders are. So he said, we can say categorically that there is no intrusion. Then he has said about Doklam. So he has said, and listen to his words carefully, and I quote, it isn't up to Bhutan alone to solve the problem. That's the Doklam problem. There are three of us. There are the three of us. That is India, Bhutan, China. There is no big or small country. There are three equal countries. Each country makes for a third, right? So what he's saying, he's making this a trilateral issue. So he's not saying, very carefully, he's not saying it's a bilateral issue. Chinese have a claim, it's our territory, we live with the Chinese. He is actually, it's good for India. He is bringing India in, saying that India has a stake in this. In 2019, in an interview to The Hindu, Lotte Shering had again said something significant. He had said, again about Doklam, that no side should do anything near the tri-junction, that is India, China, Bhutan and Doklam. No side should do anything near the tri-junction point between Bhutan, India and China unilaterally. As long as the status quo was maintained, there will be peace and tranquility in the region. So again, that was seeking equidistance. That is something that India could have lived with. But some of the statements right now, particularly saying that none of these villages that the Chinese have built are in Bhutanese territory, would look like some concessions are being made. Of course. Otherwise, you presume that all the maps you've seen so far, the Bhutanese maps and the Chinese maps and the international maps, are all wrong. It's also true, as Barnett points out, that in 2020 onwards, when pictures of these satellite pictures of these villages started coming up with stories that they were in Bhutanese territory, then the Bhutanese government never denied it. The Bhutanese government never asserted that no, these are not in our territory. Don't drag us into your issues. They didn't do that. So this looks like an afterthought. That's my interpretation. That is not what Barnett says. Now there is a little background to this. Now the background is that between 10th and 13th of January this year, that is 10th and 13th of January 2023, Bhutan and China had the 24th round of their border discussions. And this took place in Kunming City in China. These discussions, the Chinese side was led by Hong Liang, who's the Director General of the Department of Boundary and Ocean Affairs in the Chinese Ministry of Foreign Affairs, and from the Bhutanese side by Dasho Letho Tobden Tangbi, who's Secretary of International Boundaries of Bhutan. After this, a joint statement was issued, which said that, look, we have now decided on a three-step approach to resolving our border issues. They didn't say exactly what these three steps are. It was a very cryptic joint statement. You can see it on my screen. Immediately after that, Indian Foreign Secretary made a visit to Thimphu. Obviously, one, to be briefed over what had happened, and second, because India has a business, every business, to be concerned about this. So that had happened. But now, Lotte Shering statements, mark his words, this concerns an international border and we know exactly what belongs to us. He has said to Libre Belgique. And then he's spoken about Doklam and said that three countries have to sit together and find a solution. But in that deal, each country is an equal. So each one makes one third of the three. That is what he said. Now, international experts, including Barnett, they think that does it look like a barter that you take some on the western sector, you let go of what you're claiming on the central sector, or at least some of what you're claiming on the central sector. Now, if you look at the Chinese track record so far, if they've built villages or townships, they've never left them, because once they change facts on the ground, they think this is their own. So possession is 95% of ownership. That's what you and I may say. But for the Chinese, possession is 110% of ownership. So international experts don't believe the Chinese will trade that. But Chinese may trade for some favors in Doklam or around Doklam in terms of territories where they have made claims. For example, even in this Sakteng sanctuary. So they may say, all right, we give this up. You give us this little bit there and see how much we've given to you. We are such a generous big neighbor, unlike your other big neighbor, India, which does not even let you do your own foreign affairs fully independently, and which, as the Chinese allege, interferes in your internal politics. I'm also sharing with you a large opinion piece, a long opinion piece in Global Times, which is a Chinese official organ. You can call it propaganda organ, but it's an official publication. What are official publications supposed to do if not propaganda? It's in the March 14 edition of Global Times. There is this opinion piece by Sun Shihui, who's a scholar, associate research fellow with National Institute of International Strategy at Chinese Academy of Social Sciences. That article, it's a long article. Sun Shihui traces the history of Bhutan-Tibet relations, which she obviously describes as Xinjiang, which is the Chinese name of Tibet. And she says that this started in 18th century. The East India Company invaded Bhutan, started destroying its sovereignty, but more importantly, started destroying the suzerain-vassal relationship between Xinjiang or Tibet and Bhutan, suggesting that Bhutan was controlled by Tibet. An East India Company then came in and tried to change that. Then the author goes on through 17th century into 18th century, gets East India Company, or the so-called East India Company, as the author calls it, several times into Bhutan, and suggests that in many wars, East India Company and then the British acquired or took control of large territories which are now part of India, the Duars, where the tea gardens are, Kuch Bihar area, which is in India, which were then controlled by the Bhutanese administration, that in those wars, the British took those and made Bhutan sign unequal treaties, whereby they became responsible for Bhutan's foreign and defense affairs. And they in turn promised protection or committed protection to Bhutan. And India, as a legatee of the colonial empire, also took over these arrangements. And since then, India has been playing the role of a colonial power over Bhutan. So again, this came on March 14. So Jan 10 to 13, these border talks take place in Kunming city. March 14, this article comes out, and now the Bhutanese Prime Minister has made these statements. Now, this is a very interesting article because the author is really setting up the Chinese agenda and also setting up the agenda for the Bhutanese, because the author says that India has always made demands on you. You've been very dependent on India. The author says that the first 3 5-year plans in Bhutan were fully funded by India. The fourth 5-year plan was 90% funded by India. The next 5-year plan was 75% funded by India. All of this is true. And then it also says that Prime Minister Modi in 2018 in December committed another 4,500 crores to Bhutan, which is a lot of money for a small country and a small population. Plus, it says while India is Bhutan's biggest trading partner, all of Bhutan's transit rights are through India. India is not allowing, quote unquote, is not allowing Bhutan transit through China or to improve its connectivity through China. India benefits from it, that there is a sizable trade has grown between India and Bhutan, but India has a large trade surplus. I mean, that said, I will make a little footnote here that India-China trade has also grown even in times of crisis and border standoffs, and China now has a humongous trade surplus with India, upwards of $100 billion plus, right? So trade surpluses, I don't know what they mean, but in this case, the Chinese are telling the Bhutanese that Indians are exploiting you politically, diplomatically, and economically. It also says that in late 90s, militants of Alpha and the Bodos took refuge in Bhutan, and India put enormous pressure on the Bhutanese government to expel them. In 2003, Bhutan carried out Operation All Clear, December 2003, where militants of Alpha and NDFP, National Democratic Front of Bodoland, they were expelled from Bhutan, although they were making no nuisance for Bhutan. Now, you know, can you have foreign militants sitting on your soil and setting up camps and functioning there, and you sit back thinking that they are no trouble for me, so why should I bother? Nevertheless, that is what the Chinese are telling the Bhutanese. Then the article also goes on to say that India controls the most important part of Bhutan's economy, that is Bhutan's hydroelectric power generation. So this power Bhutan produces, the fast flowing rivers produce, where will this power be consumed? It is being consumed in India, and India is buying that power. India has also helped build these dams. Of course, money has been spent there, which goes as debt. So the Global Times author or the expert says that India has made Bhutan indebted to it since between 2000 and 2017. In 17 years, India has contributed by way of aid $4.7 billion to Bhutan. Again, for a small country, it gets them very indebted to India. In the process, and there we come to the nub of the issue or the conclusion of the author, and because that is the signal that's being given to Bhutan right now. In any negotiation, border negotiation with China, India represents Bhutan. Now, the author is not using this word, but I am inserting it because the implication is India is not physically present there, but the implication is India is vicariously representing Bhutan or pulling strings from behind the scenes, telling the Bhutanese what to do. And the author says, whereas China hopes to directly engage with Bhutan. So you can see where this communication is coming from, and then you can put all of the factors together. The border talks in January, the visit of India's foreign secretary immediately after that to Bhutan, this article in Global Times, and the Bhutanese prime minister's interview to the Belgian newspaper. So 1 plus 1 plus 1 plus 1, what can it be but 4?